What do Richard Nixon, John Lennon, Deb's mother, and Duffy Bear have in common? Hey there, hi there, ho there, you're as welcome as can be to another episode of Turns Out. Welcome back to Turns Out, the game of tall tales and unlikely truths. I'm David J. Lore, and joining me this time around are everyone's favorite hockey and Doctor Who fan, non-Edmonton edition, Deb Stanish. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
And of course, everyone's favorite Kelly Gamont. It's Kelly Gamont.
First of all, how dare you? Oh, wait, we're not playing yet. Hi, David.
And everyone's favorite left snouth enthusiast, Monty Ashley.
Hey, it's me, Monty Ashley. I said my name again, so that's branding right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you do it.
Yeah,
that's how you do it.
Your brand really is strong.
Top tier. You know. Top tier.
Our topic this time is Disney parks, such as Disneyland, Disneyland Paris, Disneyland Tokyo, Epcot, and more. Kelly, Deb, and I all have stories about Disney parks, and it's up to Monty to figure out which one of us is telling the truth. Why don't we start with Kelly and your story?
Okay. So my story, and I wrote it down ahead of time to make sure that I had it all sorted out. And it is...
The mark of a true story is one that you're reading.
I got my notes down because literature. I wanted to make sure I had all the information right, the way that I wanted to present it. So
I mean,
because I had to go
information.
I had to go meditate on it. You know, like this is a whole. You know, so here's the thing. So mine is Disney park adjacent, because my way into this was seeing Get Back on Disney Plus, which reminded me of something that actually did happen at a Disney park. I just wasn't there to witness it. John Lennon was on holiday at Walt Disney World with his son, his 11-year-old son, at the end of 1974, so not Sean. And he was there with his personal assistant and his girlfriend at the time. And his girlfriend at the time later told the Orlando Sentinel that while they were there at Walt Disney World, they were staying at the Polynesian Village, which is a hotel I have stayed at Walt Disney World.
Me too. And it's great. They have Dole Whips.
Yes, the whole the wall with the Dole Whip machine. I love it. While they were there, John Lennon got the documents he had to sign in order to put the end to the Beatles forever. And so sitting at the Polynesian Village, I don't know if he had Dole Whip at the time or not, unfortunately. He scribbled his name on the bottom of the page to end what is arguably the greatest rock band in history.
Wow.
So now do okay. I ask incisive questions or do we go to the next story or what?
I mean, what would you like to do? Do you have incisive questions?
Do you know the name of the girlfriend?
Her name is May Pang.
It is May Pang. You're right. That was a trick.
He's good. He's good at this.
That is quite good.
Yeah.
That is quite good.
I don't know this story for sure, but I do, as soon as you said John Lennon at Disney World, I thought, oh, right, at the Polynesian. So I believe this story because it's at the Polynesian. A little note for the people who are coming after you. Set it at the Polynesian, whatever park you're at.
Add it legitimacy.
I do think it's interesting that when the Beatles broke up, he was with his girlfriend and not Yoko Ono, who, at least as far as I could tell from Get Back and Let It Be, now on Disney Plus, he was still with Yoko at that point.
But, well, you know, now this is where the Beatles history in my brain kicks in. He and Yoko were having trouble at the time, and Yoko was the one who encouraged May to start a relationship with him
yeah.
to sort of jolt things, and they had like an 18-month thing going on.
Yeah, he called it his lost weekend, and it lasted over a year.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a weekend.
Yeah, this is that one.
Dole whips and tikis at the Polynesian.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're going to lose a weekend, I highly recommend spending that year at the Polynesian Resort at Disney World.
If you have as much money as John Lennon did, yes. Otherwise, you're going to really regret it once you wake up. All right, so I'm going to say that right now, I tentatively believe Kelly's story, which means Deb and David, you have some work to do.
Well then. I'm quickly revising to add the Polynesian Resort to mine.
Deb, you got a minute. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I'll stall while you do that. Why don't we move on to your story, Deb?
Okay, so mine's actually kind of a personal anecdote. I wouldn't classify myself as a Disney adult. However, I got engaged in Disney World, and I spent my 25th anniversary in Disney World, and I've been several times since. There was a big gap from like 1995 to 2016 where we didn't go because it's very expensive when you have four children like I do. But this is a story that did happen in 2018 in Epcot. So as we all know, any people who are well-versed in Disney lore, Epcot is not exactly the park that Walt Disney envisioned when he was first thinking about Disney World. He actually wanted this to be, Epcot actually stands for Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. He wanted it to be an actual city that lived. Of course, sadly, Walt died. And everybody said, this is way too impractical. We can't do this. What are we going to do instead? There was a little bit of push and pull between Imagineers who wanted to have this cutting edge of all sorts of technology that was going to be just showcasing what we as humans could do. Other people wanted to focus more on international cultures and customs. So they basically mooshed these two ideas together and came up with the Epcot that we know. But it's not the Epcot we know, because as we know, technology moves fast. So 1982, which is when Epcot opened, cutting edge technology got dated very, very quickly. RIP kitchen capers, like still. And also a lot of it was based on who was sponsoring what. So as sponsorship changed, the face of Epcot changed. One thing they did do that was kind of interesting was, and to kind of keep Epcot relevant and exciting, was they introduced festivals. And the first festival was actually the Flower and Garden, which debuted in, I believe, I do have notes on this because I didn't know my dates. That actually debuted in 1994, was super successful. So in 1996, they moved over the International Food and Wine Festival, which was at Walt Disney Village, which is now Disney Springs. And they also started the International Festival of Holidays in 1996. And then in 2007, we have the International Festival of the Arts. Now, these were all kind of about a month, but they mm-hmm. became wildly popular because they built these little festival booths that had, you know, food from various nations that didn't have a pavilion. And sometimes it was pavilion adjacent. And it also gave rise to this wonderful thing called Drinking Around the World.
Yes.
Which, if you have been to Epcot on a Saturday afternoon, say, about a week and a half ago, you would realize that it's not a good place to be. Bachelorette parties. It is just raucous. People wearing t-shirts. They have little passbooks you can buy on Etsy to check off your drinks. So the story that I'm telling happened in 2018. And it didn't happen to me. It happened to my mother. And my mother is a type of person who has adventures. She is a very gregarious person. She talks to everyone. And anyone who has ever met my mother has a story about Mary. She is petite, impeccably dressed all the time, wears hats with panache, and just enjoys meeting other people. She does not enjoy Disney World, we found out. we were on a trip. My sister and brother-in-law were down for a conference and invited my mother to attend them. And my husband, as a surprise, booked us to go along for a long weekend. And my mother very quickly decided this was not for her, capital letters.
Oh, no.
So she was spending some time at the pool and, it, you know, just at the hotel. They were at the Coronada. and decided that.
Are you sure it was the Coronada?
I am sure it's the Coronada because the Coronada is the conference hotel at Disney. So when there's big events, it's typically the Coronada. They have those facilities.
It's okay, Monty, because that's just where they were staying. We haven't made it to the Polynesian part yet.
She never made it to the Polynesian as far as I know.
That's too bad. The Dole Whip could have saved that vacation, I'm just saying.
It may have, but she's just not a theme park girly, and that's okay. Yeah. Everybody's got their jam. So she did decide one day that this was back in the day in Fast Passes. We had Fast Passes for, believe it was Hollywood Studios. So my mother decided she was going to take herself to Epcot and walk the lands. This was fine. We had dinner reservations at the Garden Grill that night. We made plans to meet up with her. And about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we start getting texts and photos of my mother with a group of people that we did not know. And these continued throughout the day of my mother in the Rose and Crown, my mother in Japan, my mother in Germany with a glass of beer. Turns out my mother, who was born in Kilmarnock, Scotland, and came over as a teenager, met a group of people in the Rose and Crown from Inverness and had made a connection with these folks. And Disney likes to bring in, you know, performers from various countries for their pavilions periodically. They'll have dancers and musicians. And they had a guitar player and I believe a fiddle player at the time. And she convinced them to play Flower of Scotland. And she and this group of people she had met from Inverness had stood up, sang the Flower of Scotland. And from that point on, they were bosom buddies. It turns out that my mother now has lifelong friends. There's Kelly and Angela from Loch Lomond, and there's Steve Porter and his husband, Daryl, who were actually oil rig workers. This story just sounds so convoluted. But to this day, they are Facebook friends, and they still message each other important holidays and birthdays.
Wow.
We collected my mother in Mexico and took her to dinner at the Garden Grill. She was very judicious in her drinking around the world and did not overindulge, but she has decided that Epcot is the only park that is worth visiting at Disney World. And I think Walt might be a little disappointed, but I also think that watching a 73-year-old woman drink her way around the world with a group of people that she met in one lovely afternoon at the Rose and Crown embodies the international cultural spirit of Epcot. And that is my story.
Given the other stories I've heard about your mom, this sounds because it is so improbable, it sounds completely likely.
That is a Mary story.
Yes.
What was the name of that song?
The Flower of Scotland.
And could you sing a little bit of it?
I do not know it.
Is it
interesting?
I have never heard my mother sing it. I've heard her sing other songs, but she doesn't have the best voice, let's be honest. She is more likely to whip out a book of Robert Burns poetry and read us something about a louse than she is to sing.
What is the Flower of Scotland? Is it a thistle?
I believe it is the thistle.
All right.
Is the official flower, yeah.
Is this the song that David Tennant sings in the second season of Good Omens when he pounds down all the laudanum and starts singing?
I have not seen
Good
Omens.
Because he starts with,
really
Flower of Scotland. If that's the one it is, I think that might be it.
It's probably a dirge. Like, they're dour folk, let me tell you.
Well, I think it was, oh, Flower of Scotland, like, we'll never see its like again, or something like that.
That sounds so likely.
But if it is a dirge, it would have been played very cheerful and upbeat, because by a Disneyland band.
They probably picked it up a little bit. There were pints, you know, swinging in the air, according to my mother, and it was a fairly raucous event.
Okay. I don't know the order of the countries very well over at Epcot. I've been there once. Is England first if you go in a direction?
I believe Canada.
Okay.
Or it might be France, actually. I'm trying to think because we were, the last time we went, we stayed on at a Skyliner resort. So that puts you at a different spot in the park.
It depends where you, it depends how you come in.
Yeah.
That's true. I was assuming that you would just go in, you know, past the giant golf ball, but there's other ways in, sure.
Yeah. Because if you start from the golf ball, but it, because the world showcase is all around the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So, like, if you come straight in from the golf ball and walk up, you're not really in the international. You have to go one way or t'other. But I think the International Gateway is next to the UK, I think they call it.
Well, the International Gateway comes in right at France.
Yeah, I think.
Because everybody wants to rope drop Remy.
Yeah. But I think if you go, if you walk in and go to the right, kind of how they want everybody to go, that's France. But to the left is the UK when you come in the International Gateway entrance, I think.
And I think Canada's before that.
Yeah.
So I think Canada's actually the first land. I think it's Canada, UK, France, then Morocco, then Japan, and around.
All right. So your story is that your mother got a band to play a Scottish song, then met some Scots and went on a drink around the world.
Yes. Much to our surprise and chagrin.
That sounds plausible.
Actually not. You know, honestly, not to our surprise.
Right.
Slightly more chagrin.
More chagrin than surprises, kind of how that right. sounds.
Exactly. I feel like it wasn't so much of a mom, but a mom.
Oh, mother.
Mom. Yeah. Here she goes again.
Exactly. Exactly. Momming it up.
Yep. Have you ever met these people?
I did, actually. We met them the next day. My mother made arrangements to meet them for breakfast.
Oh, fine. How were they?
I'm friends with Angela and Kenny and on Facebook. I mean, you know, we just wish each other. The funniest thing was Stephen Woods, because this was May, dressed up. This sounds so improbable. He dressed up with a red, white, and blue like scarf around his head and sent a Facebook video singing the Star Spangled Banner for the 4th of July. So while I am not Facebook friends with him, my mother still is, and she shared that with me, and it was very hysterical.
All right. I find this story plausible so far.
You got to meet my mother. It wouldn't surprise you at all.
David, do you have a story?
Oh, I've got a story.
Is it true?
It has nothing to do with the game show, but you know David's got a story.
I mean, it might be. It could be.
All right.
See, and I knew it was going to be tricky because of everyone I know, you're the only person I know who has read the same Disney histories and Disney books that I have. So it was like, okay, I got to do some digging, right? Some of the things that I would have maybe used are in the lightning round. Because, yeah, I was like, no, can't do that. So, you know, I was like, what else do I do? Well, what about the international parks? Maybe we don't know as much about those.
Maybe we don't.
So I started looking.
Maybe we don't. Sorry, go ahead.
Maybe we don't. You know, because each one has unique elements, like, you know, the steampunk Jules Verne futurism of Disneyland Paris's Tomorrowland, or the Aquatopia at Tokyo DisneySea, or the fact that Pepsi is the official drink at Shanghai Disneyland. That's just wrong. So, you know, the more I dug into these parks, the more surprises I found. Some parks have characters that only appear there, like Shanghai has Duffy the Disney Bear, who supposedly Minnie sewed him together to give to Mickey before he took a long sailing trip. Okay. Some characters, I found out, are more popular in some places than others. And when I say popular, I mean popular. Because over the years, at Disneyland Paris, several women and a few men have been gently removed from the park for stalking and throwing themselves at everyone's favorite bandit fox, Robin Hood. After the first couple of incidents, the park started assigning other cast members to shadow
Robin Hood and help to extricate him or run interference as necessary until security could come and gently remove the person to the cells. I mean, the utilidors beneath the park. At the slightest, Monsieur Renard, voulez-vous coucher avec moi? Troubadour cock Alan Adale steps in and starts singing some Roger Miller while Robin makes his escape. Goofy and Oswald and the rest may have fans elsewhere, but in France, the patrons are DTF, down to Fox.
Well,
I didn't say it was true. It might be.
Okay, I have a friend who was Ariel in California for a while, and this absolutely sounds completely reasonable to me, given some of the stories she's told me about her experience.
I've known people who were princesses down in Florida who, yeah, people are just like, hey, what are you doing after work? Do you turn into a pumpkin? What's going on?
Well, I have been to Tokyo Disneyland, and ooh, I can report I did actually see somebody dressed as Robin Hood there. I've never seen a Robin Hood walk around character in the States, so that was very exciting. I will say, though, David, I'm a little suspicious of this part where Alan Adale starts singing Roger Miller songs, because as far as I'm aware, they're not supposed to talk, let alone sing.
Well, they figure they have to distract them a little bit. I mean, you just can't be like bobbing in front of them, because they'll just go around you and try to kick you and knock you down, I guess.
Wow. No respect for the chicken, huh?
No, I mean, he's a chicken. He's not a man. He's a chicken, boo. Wait.
I think there's some legitimacy to this. Only because I have a 19-year-old daughter, and let me tell you the chokehold that Nick Wilde from Zootopia had on her and her friends during that certain time of their life. I can see it. Yeah. Like he was the fox.
He's the new generation's Robin Hood is what I'm hearing. Yeah.
I gotta think, you know, you have furries, you have Disney adults, but Disney furries are like a whole nother level.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, if you're a Disney furry, you just want to get one of the suits they walk around in, right? Like,
that's true.
There's a canonical fursuit for a Disney furry, and it's that guy.
Or with someone who wears one. I mean,
yeah. Do you think Disney furries are into Goofy?
I don't see it.
That's a different podcast, Monty.
Right. Okay. David, you lost me early on in your story when you said that Shanghai has Duffy the Disney Bear, when I know for a fact that it's Tokyo that has Duffy the Disney Bear.
That's true. And but I might have been double bluffing.
I think, David, if it's time for me to render judgment.
It is time for you to render judgment.
You
yes,
lied to me, David. You lied.
Jacques
I lied like a rug. I didn't even bring up the Polynesian Resort.
That was your mistake.
That was your tell.
That was my fatal flaw.
Yeah. You guys want to hear an anecdote that's like the John Lennon at Polynesian?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Richard Nixon was staying at the Contemporary. Mm-hmm. When he delivered the I am not a crook speech. That speech is given from the Contemporary Resort at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Okay, there goes one question from the lightning round.
Sorry. I would like to say one thing about my story. Every word of that was true. Except it did not happen in Epcot. It happened in Inverness, Scotland, on a trip that I was taking with my mother and my sister. And we also accompanied her on that bar crawl, and we are still friends with Angela and Kenny from Loveland.
So, Deb,
and oddly enough, there was someone dressed as Robin Hood.
No, but there was, you know, you have the cultural disconnect of somebody speaking Mandarin, but also being the stage performer singing Gaelic folk tunes at one of the pubs that we went to.
That's true.
Does that mean that David was telling the truth?
Nope.
Two people lied. Oh, I'm so angry right now.
To your face, Monty.
There's only one true story.
I thought there was one false story.
It could be worse. It could be like the time we accidentally gaslit Dan and nobody told the true story.
I'm still very angry about that episode, too.
Oh, I am, too. Oh, my God.
I love that episode.
But no, Kelly was telling the truth. John Lennon dissolved the Beatles sitting at the Polynesian Resort.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And in the words of John Oliver, that's a Disney fact.
Yep.
And now, if we're all ready, we will do what I should call the round robin round, because it is the slowest lightning round known to man.
Round Robin Hood?
Robin Hood.
Round
there
Robin
you go.
Hood. High oh. five. Oh.
Well done, Deb.
Oh. Okay, so we'll start with Kelly.
Oh, no.
True or false? When he passed away in 1966, Walt Disney's last words were, "Build Epcot."
And drink around the world.
yeah, I'm going false. I feel like it's something else.
It was false. His last words were, "Kurt Russell," who had just signed a 10-year contract with the studio.
Oh.
Yeah. Deb?
Yes.
When Disney World opened in 1971, the price of a single adult admission was what? A, 50 cents, B, $3.50, or C, $5?
Oh. I think the price of admission was free, and you had to purchase tickets to ride the rides, but I could be wrong.
You did still have to purchase tickets. You had to buy the ticket book to ride
the
rides.
I know
that.
You did have, okay.
But there was an adult admission price.
I'm going to go with $3.50.
You are correct. A single park, single adult admission was $3.50, and it has increased by roughly 400%.
400,000%.
Yeah.
Monty, true or false? The American flags flown at Disney parks have incorrect numbers of stars and stripes.
Some of them do, certainly. I'm sure that some of the flags in Frontierland have previous numbers of stars. I'm going to say true.
Yeah, pretty much. All but one flag in American Disney parks have the incorrect numbers of stars and stripes, because that way they don't count as flags. They're considered pennants, and so they can fly day or night, rain or shine. They don't have to do flag etiquette.
Like they do for the flag at the end of Main Street.
Yeah,
that's right.
They either do maximum pageantry for a flag or no pageantry for flags.
Or, yeah.
So, Kelly.
David.
True or false? The Monsanto House of the Future, featured at Disneyland from 1957 to 1967, was designed not by the engineers of Walt Disney Enterprises, but by engineers from MIT.
That's true.
That is true. Yes.
Yes. I love the House of the Future.
Now, Deb.
Yes.
When the House of the Future closed in 1967, the plan was to demolish it in one day. Why did it take 2 weeks? A, the contractors hired to tear it down voted to go on strike the night before. B, protesters chained themselves to the building to prevent its demolition. Or C, it was so well engineered, the wrecking ball simply bounced off the walls.
I'm taking a complete guess on this. MIT, I'm going to go with C.
It was C.
It was C.
It took workers 2 weeks to cut the building into pieces by hand using hacksaws.
Some of it's still there.
Yeah.
And some of it is still there, yeah. Monty. Everyone knows about turkey legs and Dole Whip, but which of these more unusual items are regulars on the menu at Tokyo Disney Sea? A, the Shandu curry bun. B, green alien mochi. Or C, Mickey Glove chicken pow.
Mickey Glove chicken pow, please.
That is true, but actually all of the above. Mm. They're also known for melon bread and potato churros.
I knew the mochi was real, so I was surprised, yeah.
I had a hamburger with a Mickey Glove bun, I think.
Oh. How was it?
Weird. The bun was not the texture that I was expecting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that would throw you off. Wow. Okay, Kelly.
Yes.
True or false? When Disneyland first opened in 1955, Main Street USA featured an intimate apparel shop with lingerie, corsets, bras, and more.
That is true. It was called the Wizard of Bras.
That, see, now you got my next question. Actually, no, the store was called the Intimate Apparel Store, sponsored by the Hollywood Maxwell Brazier Company and closed after 6 months. But, Deb, here you go. Here's a gimme. The shop included a presentation on the history of women's undergarments. The show was titled what? A, Bratasia. B, The Wonderful Wizard of Bras. Or C, When You Wish Upon a Bra.
The Wonderful Wizard of Bras.
There you go.
Thank you, Kelly.
You're welcome.
True or false, Monty? The Carousel of Progress is the longest running stage show in American theater.
Interesting. Now, to say that's a stage show really
opens
it up to all other animatronic shows. So I'm a little skeptical of that. I'm going to say it's not. False.
No, apparently it actually holds the official record for the longest running show in American theater, which is crazy to me.
Now, they were shut down during part of the early lockdown pandemic.
That's true. That's true.
I thought it had the most performances of any show.
I mean, it's been running it in Florida since 1975.
Right, every 20 minutes.
So, like, and every 20
yeah, it's
minutes.
Like
35
times a day or something.
Shows.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
It's not all the same show, though. There's different squads of animatronics. There's like...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It also holds the kind of disturbing record that it is the, quote, oldest attraction at Disney World to have been touched by Walt Disney himself.
Oh, they are so into Walt walked these things. Oh, here's a picture of Walt looking at an animatronic. Ooh, Walt.
I mean, I love Carousel of Progress, but let's be real. It has the reputation of the place you go to take a nap in the middle of the day.
It is the Hall of Presidents of Florida. Yes. Yes.
That was the Hall of Presidents for me, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another gimme for Kelly. True or false?
Yes.
Richard Nixon gave his infamous I Am Not a Crook speech at Disney World.
I think you mean his Wonderful Wizard of Bras speech, and that is true.
Yes, it is true. He gave it at the Contemporary Resort. 3 years later, in the same ballroom, I was on an overnight school trip watching Fred McMurray in Follow Me, Boys. Why that sticks in my head, I don't know. Deb, yeah. What snack chip was inadvertently invented at Disneyland? A, Tostitos. B, Doritos. C, Funyuns.
I don't know. I'm going to say Funyuns.
Oh, no, it was Doritos.
Really?
Yeah.
They were invented in 1966 at the Frito-Lay-sponsored restaurant Casa de Fritos.
Yeah. Did not know that.
Okay. here's a math and averages question for Monty. Roughly how many sunglasses are turned into the Disney World Lost and Found every day? A, 20. B, 200. Or C, 2,000?
Got to be 2,000. I'm just going to say whatever the biggest number you give me as an option.
It's 200, okay. But that was a smart guess, yeah. That's what I would have said.
The real question
for
is...
Sure.
How many get claimed again? That would be my question.
I can
probably
raise my hand.
None.
I can raise my hand on that one because I lost my sunglasses in the Carousel of Progress. But they had a very distinctive case.
Uh-huh.
And they found them. I went back the next day to Lost and Found. Wow. So here's a tip. If you have a distinctive case for your glasses, take a picture of it or find it if you bought it on Amazon or whatever, because they will find it lickety-split for you.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mr. Kelly had a pair of sunglasses that they found because, and there was something distinct about like the earpieces or something that he was able to tell them it says this on the side. And we were there like open to close, and he had lost them early in the day and gone and checked. And so when we left during the night in the mass exodus out of the park, we checked and they had been returned. And so he was able to take them home.
One more question for Kelly. Mm-hmm. Scents like popcorn, gunpowder, and even peppermint at Christmas time are pumped into the rides and walkways by machines throughout the park. What did the Imagineers name these devices? A. Smellitizers. B. Aromachines. C. Febrezers.
Number one seems terrible, but number two seems too clever by half. So I'm going A.
That is correct.
What a terrible name.
And our last question for Deb. For a brief time in the early 70s, Walt Disney World had an airstrip. The pavement is still there and is used as employee parking. What happens when you drive over the airstrip pavement at 45 miles an hour? A. You risk hitting costumed performers. B. The pavement will sing to you. Or C. You get the illusion of topiary creatures moving as you drive by.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to say the pavement will sing to you.
That is correct.
Yes.
And
it's got
here
bumps,
is a question for Monty.
Oh. Like, but how? Like, you can't just leave it there. Like...
Well, that's the follow-up question.
Okay.
It's the grooves in the pavement, and what is the song they will supposedly play if you hit 45 miles an hour?
I've heard this story on podcast The Ride. I'm pretty sure it's When You Wish Upon a Star.
That is correct. That is correct.
Right. So who wants to become a Disney employee for one day just to do that?
There's a freeway in the real world that does that, but it's out of tune.
Oh, oh wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, the idea is that you hit the grooves, and when the grooves are closer together, the tone goes up, and the grooves are farther mm-hmm. apart, the tone goes down. So if you're at exactly 45 miles an hour, it should work, and it sort of does. Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, it's a three-way tie. There you go.
But of course, Disney nerds on here.
Yeah.
Of course, the real winners are the listeners we met along the way in Epcot. Drinking.
While we were drinking, yes.
So that just leaves me to thank Deb, Kelly, and Monty for joining me. Thank you.
Oh, this was fun.
This was delightful. This was, yeah.
It's just like going to Disney, except without all the lines.
Yeah. So until next time, kids, MICU online, KEY. Why? Because we love our listeners. This has been Turns Out on the Incomparable Game Show.
It's just like going to Disney, except without all the lines.
Yeah.
Nowhere near as many lines and still a bunch of Disney content, which is pretty great. Yeah. Do you guys want to see my Duffy Bear outfits?
Yes.
Oh, totally. Are you kidding me?
And you don't have to spend $30 a day for Disney Genie Plus.
Duffy fascinates me.
He really does. It's such a strange story.
Any
it
Disney is... mascot where I don't know the backstory at all, like because I'm from Southern California, the orange bird completely baffles me and fascinates me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Growing up in Florida, like the Doll Museum was literally like 20 minutes from Disney World. So the orange bird was everywhere. We opened up like a couple of months away from them, like about the same time. And so, yeah. Everything in the early 70s was Orange Bird, Orange Bird, Orange Bird.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. Like, I was on the hunt for Orange Bird pins when I was there this last trip because we were there during Flower and Garden, and that's Orange Bird is the mascot.
The mascot of that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I will give an unsolicited ad to geekpins.com. They have a lovely Orange Bird pin.
Oh, I'll have to check it out.
That's awesome. Yeah.